I really sense that you are going to be such an adventurous group. You're not going to be religious. So say this with me. I refuse to be religious. The anointing of blah. We refuse to be religious. And to watch and see what's going to be happening with you. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I guess I'm the first E. What have you been doing? F-I-R-E. So that's Father Heart, intimacy, restoration, and empowering, and getting evicted out. No, what's the E? Extending the kingdom. And I think that it is really neat that these two have come back with that awesome adventure that they went through. And we're going to be opening the door for more of you to go. I would say more of us to go. Who knows? I'd love to go on something like that. It would be really great. And they tied right into what I want to talk to you about. Now, I understand I have very limited time. And so I'm going to put it on fast forward, and you'll have to keep up. But, you know, it's time, isn't it, that we began to move as believers from theory to reality. I mean, most of you have probably been around the block in all sorts of different churches and just different structures of the Christian faith. And, you know, we're such mentalists that, oh, yes, amen, hallelujah, I believe that. And we go on our merry way. But how about moving from the theory that we know so well? I like to say from all the principles. I've got principles and theory right up to there. But what's he doing in our lives these days that he's moving us into the reality of what we believe? And that's quite different. And sometimes it's a little unnerving, isn't it? Yeah. And I think it's time that we start. I love you sharing the word. I can just tell you've got people with you that are word people. Oh, because you know what they say, you know, if you have you've got the spirit and the word together. What's the old adage? When you have the word without the spirit, you dry up. And when you have the spirit without the word, you blow up. But when you've got the spirit and the word together, you begin to grow up. And I just really am so heartened to see and a lot of you, like I know by name, and a lot of you I just know by faces over these last 15 years or 16 years that we've been together with the TACF Catch the Fire family. And it's great, but it's time we started really thinking biblically. And I want to put before you this morning the fact that he's designed us to be possibility thinkers. And these two are taking the possibility. I love the way he turned you around and you said, no way, Jose, I'm not going back there. And the Lord must have had a real chuckle that day and said, well, we'll see. In the fullness of time, when he's growing up into his sonship a little bit more, I'm going to bring him back because he understands the people. He understands the culture. We just go in and say, oh, wasn't that a great time? But you see, his heart is there. And so one particular verse that's caught my heart, and I'm going to give it to you quickly from three different translations. I just recommend that you just sort of listen rather than looking up, which is, that's your choice. And it's from Ephesians 3:20. I'm going to, first of all, New King James. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above, far more than all we could ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. Amplified is good. Now to him who by the action of his power that's at work in us is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far over and above all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers and desires and thoughts and hopes or dreams. Wow. And Message is good. Peterson is always good, isn't he? He says, God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. And that's amazing. And that's kind of the theme verse that I'm going to be leaving with you today. He can do superabundantly far more than you, little old you and little old me, could ever ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that's at work within us. Because, well, I don't want to steal my thunder here. So another aspect of those verses that I'm going to look at, and to get to the point, I'm going to read the first eight verses from Acts chapter 3. And I just want you to listen to carefully. I will read it, make a few comments, and see where we go here. But I want you to set the scene. I hope when you read the scriptures and when you unpack the scriptures, you get into the story, that you don't just sit there and say, oh, hallelujah, that's a good story. But get in the scene. Be right there. See what's happening. See what's going on around. And one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3:00 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. I always get the picture of this guy going year after year after year. I also firmly believe that Jesus would have gone by and saw him there a number of times as well. Mm-hmm. And when this man saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, "I left my wallet at home. I know your Bible says silver and gold have I none." But you know, Peter was not poor. He owned a fishing fleet. So he said, "I don't have any money with me today." Okay. "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same guy that used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Well, interesting story, exciting story. That's a story for Guyana for sure. But I want to go back to one verse. I want you to just think about this for a minute, and then I'm going to get you to do something. "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you." I wonder if he knows something that we don't know, you know? And I want you to stand up, please. And you can turn, do a miracle and turn into twos or no more than, well, threes are okay. But I want you're going to communicate with each other for a couple of minutes, all right? I want you to answer this question. Don't call out the answer right away. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds or so. So Peter says, "What I've got, I'm going to give you." And my question to you is to talk about it in your group for a second or two. What did he have? You talk about it. He says, "I got something. I'm going to give it to you." What did he have? He must have known he had something. "I haven't got any money, but I'm going to give you what I have." Okay. From just about three different sections of the room, what did you decide he had? Just call out. Somebody said he had Jesus. Somebody said he had faith. Somebody said he had what? Authority. Oh, he had anointing. He had the power of the name of Jesus. He had boldness. Let me ask you one more other question. Who did he have? He had the Holy Spirit, didn't he? Okay, so you say he had boldness. He had authority. Somebody else said he had faith. Was there anything else there? Do you think so? Did he? Okay. He probably did. Okay, well, let me ask you one more question then. In the group, what do you have? Come on. What do you have? All right, let me hear your answers. Oh, no, come on. Don't hand me that. Oh, sister, I have the same thing. Do you really? I want you to, in your group, say, do you, when I say, do you really have the same stuff that Peter had? And some people aren't quite so quick to say, I don't know. And I said, what do you have? Who do you have? See, you got theory, don't we? Okay. So you say you have Jesus. Or let me say, then what does Jesus have? Everything. no, that's a blank answer. That's a huge answer. Everything. What does he have? Be specific. All power. All authority. I don't like it when people ask me questions because I have to think it's going to put me on the spot. What does he give you? Come on. What does he give you? He gives you the Holy Spirit. Is that correct? He gives you all authority in his name. Does he give you power? Does he give you faith? Really? Okay, well, I want you to think on this. Because you see, to me, this is power evangelism in the ultimate degree. You can sit down. You can sit down. That was just so that you didn't get weary. Listen, it's interesting, isn't it? It's power evangelism. I'm not there, and I'm not doing it, but you know me, and you know sometimes I like to tease and you can get a point across. But how about walking into that HIV unit and looking at this guy and saying, I don't have a lot of stuff, but what I have, I give you. Get up out of that bed and get moving. And pull the IV tube out and be healed. Not, you know, I don't have this and this, but what I have, I give you. Now, listen, what I really, I wanted you to think about that, because we say, oh, well, that was Peter, and they were all just freshly baptized in the Holy Spirit, and oh, and then, oh, that was Jesus, and oh, that was. But is it true that when he said, the same things I've been doing, you will do also? And we say, well, I know that it says that, but it really doesn't mean it. No, it says that. And it means it, but how are we ever going to start to grow up and come out of the place of just theory into reality? Now, what I do believe that he had the faith of God in him, okay? And that manifested in a moment of time when it was needed to bring forth the miracle of healing. It was there within him, and when it rose up within him, I'm sure Peter didn't stand there for like 5 minutes saying, oh, gosh, is that me or is that you? Help. Or is Cobus, remember Cobus, help me, Jesus. No. It rose up within him. And let me tell you, when a gift of faith, that's not your everyday moving around in faith that we move in, but when the gift of faith drops and you know it, then you take action with it. And the Holy Spirit there within him. So he had the faith of God in him, and then it was manifested when it was needed, okay? And I think that was one of the most awesome examples of power evangelism that we'll see. But that's what we're coming to, because the people out there that we want to just take the life of the kingdom out there, wherever your out there is, are not impressed with singing a few songs and coming to church on a Sunday. That is not going to win them into a vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, this, what are you, Scarborough Catch the Fire-ers? Oh my goodness. When you start taking this seriously, when I start taking this seriously and carrying, realize that we carry the presence of Christ with us wherever we go. I remember Bobby Connors, maybe you were there that Sunday at TACF. It was a Sunday or at a conference. For those of you who don't know, he's this wild Texas cowboy prophet type. And he's quite funny, but I'll never forget the day he said, one of the reasons for being a Christian is to make an invisible God known. Now you just think about that. That's more than words and platitudes. You see, we've got the word. What's it say in 2 Corinthians 4? It says the kingdom of God is not simply a matter of talk, but of power. We can't make the power happen. So, I mean, I'm not just trying to wind you up into something, but I know with the leaders that God's placed within this group that there's going to be, and with yourselves, there's going to be such an expectation and such an excitement and true possibility thinkers that we would really be men and women, doesn't matter whether you're 16 or 80, the ones that who know that you carry the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. For Pete's sake, that's more than just playing church. I mean, you can come and be comfortable and happy Sunday after Sunday, but that's not going to do. That's not going to make the impact that he's talking about. Little old yellow no-namers. in Costco, at Canadian Tire, at the gas station, at the pizza shop, wherever. And some of you are, I'm all on page one. I had three. Some of you know the story because you've been in some of my women's groups. And I tell the story of this little gal called Janet who comes from up near Barrie, in the town, a small city near Barrie. And quiet, gentle, unassuming. She would come down to meetings at TACF every Wednesday when the women would gather. And she was, you know, baptized in the Holy Spirit and hungry for God, and she started really getting into the Word. Actually, she really started to get into the Word. And one day she felt, and they were going to a church on a regular basis in this town that they lived in, that was not friendly with women in ministry and the Holy Spirit. They were not part of that curriculum, but they did have a great program for kids. And they knew that they wanted their kids to be in a good youth program, so they chose to stay there. And she didn't work outside the home. She had a vehicle to use, and she felt the Lord say to her one day, I've called you to be an evangelist. And she said, well, that's ridiculous. How could I ever be an evangelist? She still had the mentality that all ministry had to happen within the four walls of the local church. We've got to get past that idea, right? We keep saying, come in, come in, come in. And the Holy Spirit says, get out, get out, get out, you know, get out there. Anyway, she said, how could I ever be an evangelist? All I can do is help in the kitchen and change dirty diapers. You know, that's the only ministry women could have in that particular fellowship. And here's the battle plan. Here's the strategy that the Holy Spirit gave her. He said, I want you to figure out, this is my paraphrase now. He told her she was to go to all the Tim Horton shops within an hour's radius of the city. And he told her she was going to be an evangelist. She didn't have a clue how to do that. But in obedience, a little clue, if you're keeping clues. Anointing follows obedience, follows hearing. That's a reminder to stick on your bathroom mirror and your office desk and on your fridge. Anointing follows obedience, follows hearing. So she hears this, she gets this thought. Well, you know, that's where the Holy Spirit speaks to you. in your thoughts, you know, it comes from your spirit man, but you process it here. And so, she figured out her route and, literally, she would go to a Tim Horton. Now, she didn't have donuts every shop she went to. She took her Bible with her, and she would sit for, I don't know, as long as the Holy Spirit sort of was prompting her, for 5 or 10 minutes in each shop, and then she'd go get in the car, and she'd go to the next one. It took her 3 weeks to do the circle route of all of the Tim Horton shops. And I think it was about, it wasn't an hour radius, it was a 60, I'm still back into miles, 60-mile radius around Barrie. And, so she's on her second time around. How many of you have heard this story? I've shared it. Anybody? Yeah, hi. She was on her second time around, and she's in this Tim Horton shop, and she would just sit over in the corner. And she'd either have a coffee or a glass of water or something like this, and she would just sit there, and she had her Bible with her, and she would just read for a while. I mean, what are you going to do sitting in Tim Horton shops? You got to do something constructive, eh? So she was reading the Word, and this woman came up to her, and she said, oh, I'm so glad you're here. You're back. You were here 2 weeks ago, weren't you? And Janet said, yeah, I was. And once again, you were sitting over there and you were reading something. There you are. You're reading. Your nose is in something again. What is this? What, can I talk to you? And Janet said, yes. She said, well, I don't understand, but I have to tell you what happened to me. 2 weeks ago, I came in and I got a cup of coffee, and it was going to be my last cup of coffee. Because I had a letter in my purse from my husband, I fully intended going out and committing suicide. That's what life was like for me. And I got the coffee and I paid for it and I turned around and I looked over where you were sitting over there and you looked up at me and you smiled. And I went out and tore up the note. And here I am again, but here you are again. Can I talk with you? Well, guess, page two, page three. Yeah, I mean, talk about a release in a smile. of the life-saving, empowering of the Spirit of God. And she didn't even have to say, silver and gold have I none, such as have I give you. He poured out of her because she was being obedient. I mean, probably most of us would say, that's a stupid idea. You don't sit in Tim Horton shops, you know, and do this route. But a life was saved. A life was saved. Wow, power evangelism. So, back to Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly all we ask or think, according to the power that's at work in us. I always used to think when I was newly introduced to the Holy Spirit, you know, that somehow there was this great poobah in the sky and the great empowering creature. And if I was in the right place at the right time, he'd kind of whomp down with some kind of an anointing to do the job. But then I grew up because I started to realize that I was a new creature in Christ and the Spirit dwelt within. And even as the Word says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, the one that's united with the Lord has become one spirit with him. And that's you. Every single one of you in this room that has had that life-changing miracle of being born of the Spirit of God. You're a new creature in Christ. And you have not embraced a religion. You've embraced life. I want you to know that your Christianity is not your religion. Actually, in the original Samuel Webster's dictionary, which was written back in 18 something or other, one of the definitions for the word religion is a return to bondage. The world's covered with religions. Man's struggling to find a way to reach a God somewhere and appease him. You don't have a religion. You have life. You have Zoe life, his very life that has come and taken up residence within your spirit man and absolutely made you new. And now we have to understand what that means and allow him to transform us, okay? But his ability is in there. His life was in. And there's such a difference between churchianity and ho-hum religion and a person who has Christ within. When you're walking through Costco, I have Christ within. I have Christ within. Lord Jesus, is there somebody there that you want me to bump into? You know, somebody that you want me to just talk to, somebody that I could just, Lord, I'm ready for a divine setup. Amen. Be it in Scarborough or be it in Guyana, wherever, divine setup, you know. You are a dwelling place. Simply, this body is simply a hollow unit that's designed to house spirit. You know, you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. One of the hardest things for me is to change my terminology. We used to say body, soul, and spirit all the time. But it's not. You are a spirit being. You always will be. You have a soul and you live in a body. You're like a tent house. You're marvelous pots. You're containers. I mean, look at somebody else and say, you're the greatest looking pot this morning. I didn't say you have a great pot. What? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 that we have the awesome treasure, the very glory of God, housed within this fragile clay pot. I mean, Patsy Claremont, this wild woman from the American Gal, this high squeaky voice, and she just calls us a bunch of crackpots. Crack so that the life of God can come out. You know, you and I don't understand that terminology. We have that awesome treasure that I can't even imagine, housed in simple clay pots. But you see, they would understand that in that day. We don't. They would keep their most valuable possessions, their gold, their bits of silver, their precious stones or jewels. They would keep those in clay pots. Not the bank and not under the mattress. They would keep them in clay pots. And then, and you can take this, those of you who like to go digging in the Bible, funny play on words here, they would take those clay pots and they would put them in the ground. And that's where they would store them. Now maybe you can understand the parable that Jesus tells about the man walking along and sees a field and he sees something's over and he sees it's a clay pot. Ho, 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 smart man. He roars off and makes arrangements to buy the whole field because he figures where there's one clay pot planted, there's going to be more. That's where they kept their treasures. And Paul says, you're a treasure keeper. You have the very glory of God, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead in that fragile clay pot that you are and that I am. And the other thing that you are, it takes the pressure off, if you only could start to see it, is you're just a branch. Imagine that. Here are the roots. Here's the strong vine. And here's this little branch. Just, you know, he just wants you to hang there. Just hang out. What branch do you know, by all of the sweating and the straining and the working at it, can produce one little bit of fruit? The branch does not produce the fruit. The life that's in the vine comes up and goes through the branch and bears the fruit on the branch. And all you are is just a holder of it. We try so hard. I'm going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to be fruitful. Oh, I've got to get this fruit going. You couldn't make one bit of it happen. Oh, you're just a branch, fruit-bearing branch, because of the flow of life coming forth through you. And so I think that many of us have been kept in ignorance in the church about the more than power that resides in every single person here. Just let me read this scripture. See, there's a power within you that's not you. There is a power within you that you can't drum up, you can't make happen, you can't turn on, you can't turn off. It's the life of Almighty God. Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Power to what? Power to be my witnesses. I always had problems with that because I thought, yeah, I guess I'm not out there knocking on doors, and I guess I'm not being a very good witness because I'm not talking about it all the time. But the strong word there is be. Be what? Be your very life. Be it in Toronto or Guyana, is to give witness to the fact that Christ is raised from the dead, because the same power flows from you that raised him from the dead to do things like Peter and John at Gate Beautiful. Ephesians 3:7, Paul comments on the effective working of God's power within him. He said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. In fact, just before that, he says, I came before you in weakness and fear and much trembling. It's okay. If Paul could stand with his knees shaking under his toga, full of weakness and fear and much trembling, it makes you say, oh, my goodness, I do feel weak, and I feel a little fearful, and this is really scary. But he says, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Anointing follows obedience, follows hearing. And he calls us to be lights. We say, oh, Jesus is the light of the world, but Jesus says, no, you're the light of the world. The light of his glory, of his life to shine in everyday circumstances through us. Your salt and your light in a dark world. And so in these days at Catch the Fire TACF, we constantly, even though you've gone through the beginning sessions, you'll constantly be hearing about the Father Heart of God. That's foundation. That's who we are. You'll constantly hear about forgiveness. You'll constantly be hearing about his kingdom here as well as in the future. You'll constantly be hearing about intimacy with Jesus and soaking in his presence and having our hearts healed and living the great commandment of loving others. But, you know, I think it's going to be great when we, you know, go out with the Great Commission as the early church did. Yeah. They said, oh, to walk in the anointing that the early church did. And, you know, religious people call that, well, you know, that was the primitive church. Oh, to be so primitive. Oh, to be so primitive. And signs and wonders accompanied their preaching to authenticate it in the eyes of those who had need. So it's not going to be just words. It's going to be the most awesome opportunities that you will have in the most awesome places he leads you to take one step further from just speaking about him to doing as he would do. And that's what I really trust, that we will be so built up ourselves in our most holy faith, built up in the Spirit, that when we're out there, that it is almost a natural thing. Like Peter didn't have to stand and say, I wonder if that was God or that me. I don't have any money with me, but what I have, I give you. He knew what he had. And my question for myself and for each one of you here is, do you know what you have, and do you believe it? Because if we have it, resurrection life living within us, somehow it's got to make a difference, wouldn't you say? And Paul said to the Romans, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ wherever I've gone. So how about preaching? Maybe this is where the full gospel businessmen got their title, but how about preaching and taking a full gospel? Not just the gospel of the word, but a gospel of the word and the works of the kingdom at the same time. And so are we being drawn to the point in our lives as believers in Christ that we can say, as Peter said, such as I have, I give you. I think he was one of the original possibility thinkers. You see, he'd heard what Jesus said, and somehow he actually believed it. In Mark 16, when Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Do you know what? I think he was just dippy enough that he actually believed it. When are we going to be naive enough, childlike enough, that we actually believe it? There's a few out there that are starting to actually believe it. And he actually believed it. And as a gift of faith was released in him, he did it. It's amazing. Would you stand up, please? And pray this with me. All right. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel awkward leading in a prayer, making it rote for other people to follow. But I think you'll be able to either say this in your own words or follow me here. Lord, your word says that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than all I ask or think, according to your power that's at work in me. Please forgive me for being a person of such weak expectancy. Thank you for giving me your life and teaching me how to walk and live in the fullness of that life. Teaching me how to walk and live in the fullness of that life. All of the supernatural abilities of the Spirit of God are in me to use for the kingdom. Wow. Father, I just bless these people that are standing here. I bless this fellowship. I bless the core of it. I bless the ones that are being added to. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Even in the New Testament church, as they began to move out in the things of the Spirit and in loving one another in the fellowship, that numbers and multitudes were added to them daily. May this be a congregation of believers where there's additions, not just additions, multiplications. Where the word gets out that this is a body of believers that is excited about moving in the things of the Spirit and being kingdom men and women wherever they're found. So I'm asking for your anointing to just stir within them again this morning. Yes. Yeah. That they would see themselves as more than just men and women kind of spinning their wheels till next week. But that they would see themselves as awesome carriers of life. And Father, I'm asking that you would just raise up within them as they're learning to love one another, that they would be ones who would encourage one another into adventures. Yeah. And that they would, yeah, they would become biblical thinkers and possibility people. That they would know so securely what they had and who they had. Mm-mm-mm. Whoa. And Father, I thank you that even when we make mistakes, you're in the redeeming business. And you fix us. Father, let the motive of their heart not to be to show off in any way, but to love, love, love. And these two looked at the people in the infectious diseases department, that there was love shed abroad in their heart. And that love literally is going to motivate them more and more and more to step out and do the extra, the over and above the word, but take the action with it. So, Lord, I'm asking there be a stirring within them of all of the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, from tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, performing of miracles and healing, that they would be stirred up and expected, and that they would be used as tools of your kingdom. This would be a different gathering of people, knit so totally together in unity that they would even be on guard for anything that would come in to try and disrupt them. And we just call forth your blessings on these people. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. Whoosh. And as the terms of terminology, revival, whoosh. And whoopee. And whoa.